You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I know a lot of you have hangovers this morning. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, February 10th, episode 3623, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You have found Horses in the Morning on a Monday. You're in for an amazing horsey week of laughter, learning, and fun with Glenn and Jamie.
Well, go Eagles. So a lot of my family are Eagles fans. Some of them live in Philadelphia, so I was texting with them all night last night, and they were very happy. Very happy in Philadelphia last night. Although I must say, Homer was wrong.
Well, I have to tell you the truth on that. So every year we put the two teams and we put a cookie on top of it and we let Homer go and he runs and chooses it. Okay. So first take, I say first, Homer got a lot of cookies yesterday. So Anna's holding him. Lucas and I are down below. Lucas puts the cookies and he lets Homer go and I hit record. And Homer comes running over and eats the Eagles cookie immediately. And then, boom, jumps on the other cookie. And I was like, oh, no, my entire glass. Like, I was baking at the time and I smudged the lenses on my phone. And so it looks like a big smudge of, like, this animal coming to eat the cookie with the Eagles. And you're like, okay, whatever. No, I have it. I'll send it to you, Glenn. And so then after that, I was like, you guys, we got to do it again. And Lucas is like, kind of wanted the Eagles to win anyway. And, so and I was like, we got to do it again. You guys, I have to re-record it. And so they take Homer back. We put two more giant cookies out. And then I'm like, okay, go, you know, and I record and he runs right over to the Chiefs and eats that cookie and then eats the Eagles cookie. I was like, oh no. All right. We're going to have to do 2 out of 3. So they pull Homer back again. I'm like, record action. Homer runs over and eats the Chiefs cookie. And I was like, 2 out of 3, you guys, 2 out of 3. So the initial
Homer
pick
weighs 500 pounds.
Yeah. And and they're not small little pieces of cookie. So he was like, it was the happiest he's ever been.
But in essence, he was right. You just didn't get it recorded.
I have it recorded. You just can't really see because I was baking, which I will tell you about in my Daily Winnie. But I was baking and I had like smudge all over the camera lens, but didn't realize it till I hit record and it came running down. So I'll send you that one, Glenn, just so you see it.
Well, thank you very
so,
much.
So yes, he
good
was
job,
right.
Homer.
I should have gone with my, and Lucas was like, no, he went with the Eagles. I was like, 2 out of 3, buddy. I couldn't get it recorded. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to really, it doesn't really matter. And then here you are bringing it up first thing.
Every year you do it. It's kind of a tradition. Speaking of traditions, every year on this show for the last 15, we've talked about the important part of the Super Bowl, which is the commercials. We don't talk about the game or the halftime show much, but I didn't even watch the halftime show, so I don't even know what happened there. That's when I took a break.
Every time I looked up, I was at a party, so I couldn't really pay attention to the halftime show. But I will say, nobody was dressed like a hooker from what I saw. Like, typically, the girls up there look like hookers, and nobody was dressed like a hooker. And I was like, yes, I love it.
Well, let's talk about commercials. For the most part, I felt old and didn't get most of them. That was my takeaway last night. And I was even texting my niece, who is like 40. She's the Eagles fan in Philadelphia. And she's like, I had to look some of these people up. I didn't know who they were, so I didn't feel so bad. All right, I have categories here. I have best, creepiest, totally didn't get, trying too hard, and the heartstrings ones. You know, the ones that always tug at your heart. So that's my category. So let's see how we do here. We'll start with heartstrings. There, you didn't see the Pfizer Young Boxer commercial, did you?
I did not.
Down the street. Well, I didn't know. Like most of these commercials in the Super Bowl, you'd have no idea what the company is until the very end. You'd just have no idea.
Right.
So this one, I had no idea, and I was about to be mad at it. because I was like, this is a dumb commercial. And then it was this heartwarming commercial about curing cancer, and the kid had won his cancer battle. So then, of course, you felt like schmuck because you were hating on the commercial. So yeah, that was heartstring one. And then the Lay's potato chips one. Did you see that with the girl planting the potato and the farmer?
No.
Okay, that was kind of good too. And actually, some of our listeners like that one too.
I was at a party, so I just went on this morning and I started watching all of them. It was like the best 25 commercials from the Super Bowl. And I watched all of them, and any of them that were like heartstrings, I skipped.
Okay.
Because there's so many good, funny ones.
Well, let's go to trying too hard. This is my trying too hard category. The Hellman's Harry Met Sally, I appreciated it. I liked it, but I thought it was just trying a little too hard.
I did like it when he was like, oh, that one's real. I did think that was funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So that was one I was like, okay, you know, I get it. I got it. I also felt a little old after that one.
Yeah,
when did
no
that
kidding.
Come out?
I mean, that movie is like 40 years old.
I'm looking at
it's crazy. So many of the commercials were just throwbacks. God. Like nothing was current. How
1989.
Old? Oh my God. Almost 40 years old. Jesus.
Totally didn't get the Dunkin's commercial or the Dunkin' commercial. I don't know what it was. Maybe I just was zoned out.
Well, you didn't see, I don't know if you saw it last year. This was like the second installment of the Dunkin's, and it's just Matt Ben Affleck trying to be funny. I don't hate it. I didn't hate it.
Okay, we have to get to creepy because, my God, who the hell did Pringles hire as an ad agency to come up with the flying facial hair thing?
I love Adam Brody. Like, I love him. I think he's fantastic. And he was in it, and I was so excited. I was like, oh, yes, Adam Brody. There's a TV show that he is on with Kristen Bell. What's it called? Nobody Wants This. You guys, that's my new favorite show. I've already seen the
Adam
first
Brody's
season.
The
anyway.
One with the eyebrows, right?
He's the one that blew into the Pringles can.
Yes.
And then I was like, this is the weird. I'm embarrassed for him.
Well, there were a couple
of those. I was embarrassed for him.
Did you see the other ones? There was more than one with flying facial hair from Pringles.
Oh, no, I only saw one.
Oh, no, there was another one that had multiple mustaches and eyebrows flying around.
Oh, I didn't see the eyebrows. I just saw the mustaches flying around, and it was like Nick Offerman had it was a mustache were being ripped off. It was so strange.
It was weird. The whole Pringles thing was weird. And I don't know. Somebody has to come up with these ideas. Then it goes through a committee at the ad agency. Then they bring it to Pringles, and somebody has to say yes at Pringles.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder. And then they spend $16 million.
How much were they? Were they like $4 million or something? What?
Yep.
Oh my God. It just makes you realize like how much people make, like how much these companies are making.
Well,
like,
not only that,
Pfizer.
They all had major celebrities in them that had to get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, almost all these commercials had major celebrities in them. I did ask the auditors what their favorites were beside the, you know, Clydesdales, because that would be the number one answer. I was shocked how many said the Seal one was their favorite. I just thought that was creepy as hell.
I cackled. It was so funny and weird. And I just was like kind of grossed out, thought it was hilarious.
But
throwing back to something, a song that's like 35 years old. It was weird.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the art. It's, you know, the AI itself was just,
oh God,
I don't know.
I could see you not liking that, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
And I've got the song stuck in my head. Baby, I can see the tender kiss from a rose on. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was not my favorite.
Carry on.
However, okay, let's get to the best and see if we agree. We usually don't agree on the best ones. All right. Obviously, we have to say the Budweiser Clydesdales, you know, because we have to. It's just, and it was good this year.
It is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Harrison Ford Jeep commercial. Now, did you see it?
I did. I saw most of it. And here's the thing I thought was like, I kept waiting for him to do something funny. And I bet they tried to get him to do something funny. And he was probably like, no.
Actually, no. It was a favorite of a lot of our auditors. So, and I think the funniest part was at the end when he said, and a Ford or something, you know, his name.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably the funniest part of that. But it was a heartwarming commercial. The McConaughey Uber Eats commercial, the food conspiracy theory was fantastic.
That was fantastic.
And true.
And I don't really love him. Like, he's not one of, like, I don't, if I see him in a movie, I'm like, it's okay. But that was very, very funny. He played that very well. But I'm sorry, what you told me about, and I watched before, that the Stella commercial the two Daves,
yes, that
was David Beckham and Matt Damon. Oh my God, it was so great.
That was good too. It took me a minute to figure out what was happening in that one. And, you know, again, you know, at the end is when you find, like, the Uber Eats ones. It was not clear it was Uber Eats until the very end.
All I realize is Uber Eats is charging way too much money to be able to afford all of those commercials.
They must have had the most. I think they probably did.
It was crazy.
It was nuts. Yep, it was definitely nuts. Well, there you go. There's the commercials. I know there were some other ones in here that listeners liked. Hellman's got a couple of votes. The Angelsoft gave you a bathroom break commercial, I thought was just kind of cute. The flag football one, I didn't see that. I didn't get that. I didn't see that one. And I'm glad I'm not the only one that said that they didn't get a lot of the commercials. So I was just too old, I guess, for the commercials. But let's do some daily winnies. We do have to get to those. Oh, what's coming up on today's show? We never did talk about that. Today, we have Dr. Amy McLean on. She's going to join us to answer listener questions on owning donkeys. Also, Jennifer's coming on because she ordered a saddle like she has never ordered before. Plus, we have some equestrian first world problems, and we'll do an auditor post show for you as well. Okay, now it's time for Daily Winnies. Well, I have no auditor birthdays today, believe it or not. So I'm giving it to my lovely wife, Jennifer, who helped me clip Scooter yesterday. My Hackney pony lives in Florida for the last 8 years, 9 years, and has not figured out he lives in Florida. His hair was 3 inches long. It was incredible, the amount of hair. We just trace clipped him. And there was a pile, there was a huge pile of hair. I could not believe how long his hair was. I don't know why I didn't get the memo, because
I saw the picture and I was like, oh my God, there's another Scooter on the ground.
There is. It was crazy. So much so that our clippers, and I had bathed them in oil and all that stuff, and our clippers, the blades, we had brand new blades, and they died about 3/4 of the way through. They just would not cut anymore. So I had to order new blades. So he's a little embarrassed right now because he's 3/4 clipped.
I want to see that picture.
I'll take a picture. His legs are partially done, you know, and he's just feeling a little embarrassed right now. But so I had to order new blades. They'll be here tomorrow and we can finish clipping him. But thanks to Jennifer for helping with that. She actually lets me help clip because I like doing it. I think it's kind of fun, actually.
Did you use the concoction that I've told you about? Is after you've bathed your horse, the best thing to do is you take 50% Shoshin and 50% baby oil, put it in a bottle, shake it up, and spray them wherever you're going to clip. Because what happens is the Shoshin makes it easy to go through the hair, and the baby oil keeps your clip your blades oiled. You didn't do that, did you?
The problem with that is you have to keep them clean after then, till the next day when we did the clipping. And he rolls every night about 16.
You know what? Just do it. Like, spray him, walk him around for 2 minutes, and then clip him.
Oh, we do it ahead, right? Like, real close ahead of time.
Yeah, like right then.
Oh, okay. I always thought you had to wait for it to dry.
The hot tip for those of you guys listening. I mean, that's amazing. I learned that one a long time ago. 50% Shoshin, 50% baby oil. Psh, blades go right through it.
I'll try it when we finish him with blades. All right, your turn.
So I went to a Super Bowl party last night, and in an effort to participate, and because these people throw a really, really big party, I was like, I am going to get in the spirit of baking and I'm going to make brownies, but not just any brownies. I went on Amazon and bought, it's a silicone football brownie pan or cake pan.
Okay.
So yeah. So it's this big brown, like football, like it's like a bowl, and inside it has the strings and the whole thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make brownies in there. Have this big football, turn it over. And then I bought some icing to like do the laces, you know? And I was like, this is going to be awesome. But I wasn't quite sure how it was going to work. So I bought some cake mix and I bought 3 different brownie mixes. I'm like, okay, either I can make a cake and I can just ice it like a football. Like, how cool would that be? That'd be great. Yeah. Here's the problem, Glenn. What happens when you have a giant bowl type cooking pan? There's a reason that people use flat pans. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I put the first cake in the oven and I put it in and it rises beautifully. Like it's a big football. And I cooked it for like as much time as it needed. The outside looked great. I pull it out of the oven. I give it a minute to rest. I'm like, how am I going to get this football out of here? Like, you can't put it on a plate. It's round. It's a round football. So I was like, I know what I can do. I can cut off the top, like cut halfway through it. I'll have two football cakes. This is going to be great. So I take a big bread knife and I start to slice through the top of it. Here's the problem, Glenn. The outside was perfectly cooked and the inside was pudding. Utter pudding. And I was like, oh, God. That's not how that's supposed to be. Like, it was a disaster. Okay, Pinterest one, fail. So I tossed that. And it was inedible. Like, it was inedible. I was like, somebody's going to get salmonella from this. And so I make my first set of brownies. And it was like a peanut butter brownie mix where you take, like, the brownie mix and then you roll cookies in it and you stuff it down in there. And so, like, it bakes into, like, the swirl. Raw. In the middle. So then this last one, I'm like, I'm going for it.
Why didn't you just cook them longer?
You can't because the outside burns. Like the outside is, and it looks super cooked. And then you pull out of the oven and it's raw in the inside because it's not supposed to be that shape. So this time I'm like, this is my last go. I'm just going to like leave it. I am going to just cook the bejesus out of it. So what I ended up bringing to the party, it was a football. It looks like a football and you flip it over and it has the laces in and everything. And so I bring it out and I flip it over and oh my God, it was not raw in the middle, but I'm going to tell you something. Them ends were crispy.
You could use it as a football.
You could. And so Chad takes a bite. He's like, I'll eat the end. And so we're at the party and everybody's like, that's so cool. And I'm like, I don't know if she's ate it. Chad's like, he ate the edge. He was like, oh God. Do you have a review of my football brownie deliciousness?
Yeah, the middle two-thirds were fantastic.
Oh, the middle two-thirds were fantastic. Unfortunately, the ends were burned.
The ends were leather at the end.
Yeah, they were pigskin at the end. Chad just said a brick. Thank you, honey.
You tried though. Look, you tried three times. I'm impressed.
I did. I tried three times. And now the good news is I have one box of brownie mix left over. I'm just going to make some normal brownies.
Look at it this way. You did better than the Chiefs. So there's that.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Worm Flooring now does trailer roofs. Leaky roofs are a very common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicon-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. It stops leaks before they start, and it reflects back nearly 90% of the nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a hot day. So invest in a peace of mind with, they call it, Seal and Chill. That's the roof coating. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish and only $7.50 per square foot. That's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and people. Head on
and
over.
And they do barn aisles and they do trailer floors. They do all of it to make your life better.
And veterinary floors and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Head on over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. So Jennifer has never in her life done something, and she's been in horses since she was 3. So I'm going to get her on and she can tell you what she did. All right.
I can't wait.
So Jennifer, your new Kentucky Mountain saddle horse needed a new saddle because your saddle was not the right shape for this little thing.
Because a saddle never fits a new horse. It's like, you just got to know it.
And if you see her old horse and her new horse side by side, you'd understand why.
Yeah. We need to put a picture up like that. Yeah.
So you did something you have never done in all your life. What did you do on Saturday?
I ordered a saddle that has a saddle horn on it.
Ah! What? You got a Western saddle for James?
Well, yes, I did.
I'm not judging. Please tell me everything.
Well, see, that's a bad thing to ask me because I'll go into way more detail than anybody wants to hear. But I got to searching around and I wanted to get a saddle specifically made for trail riding, because when you ride a gated horse, you sit kind of upright versus riding a thoroughbred galloping, right? You sit very differently on them. My saddle that I use on Nigel, really not made for sitting that way. So I knew I needed to do that. And I was going to get they make a type of Western saddle that does not have a saddle horn on it. Other than that, it looks like a Western saddle. And that's what I wanted to get. But then I sat in another one made by the same company that does have the saddle horn on it. And I liked that one better. So that's what I ended up buying.
Jennifer, I think that's really smart. You never know when you're going to need to dally your rope after hooking a cow.
That's what I said. It could happen.
Well, this is what I can do. I can pony Nigel along.
That'd go well.
And yet Nigel can step over James.
I think that's great. So what kind did you go with?
It is High Horse brand, which is made by Circle Y out of Texas.
Okay, here's my next question. Very important.
Yep.
Do you know how heavy it's going to be? Because good Lord, these things are ridiculous.
They are ridiculous. They make a line of saddles that and I have to apologize because I don't know all my saddle parts on Western saddles that well. The seat and basically the top of the saddle that you sit on is leather. But the fenders, which are the stirrup leathers in a Western saddle, and the skirting, which is the edgy part where they put all the cute conchos, that is all made of Cordura nylon. So it only weighs 21 pounds.
Okay. And what's it called again? I'm going to Google it so I can see it.
Called High Horse is the brand. And the model is Ironweed.
High Horse Ironweed.
Yes. I saw it written on the tag in the store and I thought they spelled Ironwood wrong. But no.
So do they actually? Oh, I see it. Yeah, that's perfect. So I have a question though. Like, so where on earth did you try one out in Ocala?
Well, people don't realize this, but we have a very vibrant Western discipline culture here, as well as English.
Really?
And between two of the five local tack shops, they probably have 200 saddles in stock.
Okay. I was just like, I mean, I don't know where you would go in Ocala with all those English tack stores all around you. So congratulations. It's fantastic. It's real cute. Is yours the brown with the black seat?
Yes. And it's got it's called rough out, so that the rough part of the leather is sticking up. So it's kind of grippy. I like that for when we have those bicycle moments. Mm-hmm.
I know what rough out is. I have a farm boy that works for me. That was this whole thing.
Did he come with his own saddle? Did he bring his own Western saddle to your party?
He did. He showed up with a Western saddle. And I was like, what is that? Because it was like 600 years old. And I'm like, he goes, I don't know. I'm pretty sure the tree's broken. And I was like, you can't ride in that. He's like, I'm going to buy a new one. And so then he had one ordered and bought this brand fancy new thing and like went to work oiling it. It was like just made. And it's been a fantastic saddle. But he really, he got on it, oiling it and getting it ready and taking care of it and putting the stick through the stirrups and all that stuff that cowboys do. I don't know. Anyway, he's got that saddle and I actually would love to have a Western saddle and I keep looking for him, but someday.
I will tell you that Jennifer did her homework. She did little drawings of his back and brought little cutouts. She had an art project by the time she was done.
Did you just a tracing, Jennifer?
I did the little tracing with the withers and then the spine and then
she
the loins.
A tool to do that.
A lot of tools.
Yeah, it's Glenn. There's a whole thing that you have no idea about, which is saddle fitting and doing the tracing. Now you know.
Yes, knows nothing at all.
All I saw her was doing an art project, and then she disappeared with it and came home, you know, $1,300 later. So
yeah. The hard part is it takes less time to create a puppy than it does to get this saddle.
Yeah, it's a weight,
oh God.
It? Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Summer will be
when
here.
Will
she
be
won't
here?
Be able to ride by the time the saddle gets here.
Yeah.
Too hot.
How long does it take?
8 to 12 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I think they have to shoot the cow first, I think.
Oh, my God. Rope the cow with their saddle.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, and congratulations. I just thought it was funny that this is the first one that she's ever bought with a horn on it.
You know, and so. I've looked on YouTube. The saddle horn can be removed. Just put that out in the universe.
I wouldn't do that.
You can hang all kinds of saddlebags from it. It'll be great. It'll be perfect. Bye. Thanks, Jennifer.
Bye.
Especially since he's gated, you could put one of those koozies that you like hooks to the horn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a rule about alcoholic beverages on gated horses. Yeah.
I didn't say alcoholic.
They all ride around here with six packs hooked to the saddle. So there you go.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Jennifer is the only one at a fox hunt that used to put lemonade in her flask. So, I mean, there's that.
So. Yeah, she's a big partier.
Yeah, she really is. All right, let's head to our guest, our second guest for the day, and that's Dr. Amy McLean. She is Associate Professor of Teaching Equine Science at UC Davis Animal Science, and she is an expert in donkeys and also mules. And we had some auditors with some questions about getting donkeys. We're going to ask her all about those.
I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Amy McLean. Hi, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me today to talk about donkeys.
Is this like, did you ever dream when you were a little girl that you would grow up to be the donkey expert?
No, I had no idea this would happen.
How did your love of donkeys kind of get started?
It's kind of a great story. My dad introduced me to a donkey when I was about a year and a half old, and he was from Atlanta, Georgia, and my mom was from Manhattan, so they were literally city slickers, and it was a guard donkey by the name of PJ, and he said, you know what, we're going to move to the country and get a donkey farm, and my folks were really spontaneous, knew nothing about donkeys, horses, large animals, but that's what happened. So I grew up with donkeys and mules, so I've always thought all horses had big ears, so it was quite a great experience and way to grow up, but thanks to my parents, they're the ones that introduced me to them.
Okay, so one's from Atlanta, one's from Manhattan. Where did y'all end up? Somewhere in the middle?
My mom was in Atlanta at the time teaching at Georgia State University, and they met through art. And so now a lot of the art that I have is all donkey-based. But we moved south of Atlanta. We had one small farm there. We outgrew that, and we got a bigger farm and another farm, of course, for the donkeys and mules. So, yeah. So I'm originally from Georgia.
Okay, so I'm from Atlanta, too. So, yay, sister. So let's talk a little bit. What is the World Donkey Breeds Project that you have going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're looking at preserving, there's about 200 breeds of donkeys, and it's based out of Cordoba, Spain, where they do a lot of genetic research on preserving indigenous breeds of animals. And my colleague there, Dr. Francisco Javier Navas Gonzalez, is the head of the project, and I'm his co-partner. And so we're just looking at ways to preserve the different breeds of donkeys. Most people don't even recognize there's breeds of donkeys just like there's breeds of horses. And a majority of those breeds, sadly, are endangered. So there's 500 or less in each of those breeds. So we're trying to preserve them. So all donkeys that you think of are not just little gray donkeys with maybe a stripe on their back. There's actually some differences.
Well, we talked to somebody a while ago about the Poitou donkey, and I don't think there's a cuter animal on earth.
Yeah, and the Poitou is a great example of other breeds that have actually saved it that are also big and furry and hairy that came from Spain and Portugal. So, yeah, the Poitou has gained a lot of fame for the way it looks, but there's two other breeds that were really responsible for saving it that look similar, but they've received a lot less press, the Zamora and the Mirandes.
The Zamora and the Mirandes. Well, good luck on all of that going forward with the World Donkey Breeds Project. And I'm glad you guys have been able to save at least those three. So I guess we ask our listeners were asking us to get somebody on about donkeys because they had a whole bunch of questions. And I'm guessing like my first question would be, are donkeys actually really good guardians?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you see them used in the respect of guard animals. And again, the first donkey I met was PJ, the guard donkey. He was guarding livestock, actually cattle. They are, they're not. And there's some guidelines that have been produced on how to care for them, because sadly the thing that happens is they're tossed out with cattle or maybe sheep or goats. And depending on if it's a jack, which is a male donkey, or a jenny, that can affect how they interact with the calves or the lambs or the baby goats, the kids. And an intact male jack sometimes will actually attack the baby. So that's not a good thing. Donkeys also form strong bonds with one another. So if you put out two donkeys, and sometimes those donkeys will just stay together and they're not going to protect the herd as much, or they may actually work together in a pair of trying to run off stray dogs or coyotes, things like that. But the biggest concern we usually have with guard donkeys is just their care. They're oftentimes forgotten about. They're caring for the cattle or the sheep, but they forget about the donkeys. But again, it just depends on the manager who's you know, managing the livestock. And other countries like Italy, Argentina, it's very popular to have a donkey with especially sheep and goats. And they even use the donkey to carry some of the lambs or the goats up into the high country or away. So it's just a little bit different. It's more intensively managed. And I think they do a better job when there's more interaction with the donkeys.
Okay. So if somebody's thinking about getting a donkey, are there like pre-purchase exams for donkeys?
Well, you could have that done. Sadly, there's not a lot of donkey or mule science in equine veterinary programs or even an undergraduate equine science program. So the baseline level of comparing, say, radiographs of a donkey to a horse is lacking often. We're trying to change that. We're working on actually a donkey and mule medicine textbook that should be out this coming summer. But you can do a pre-purchase. It's up to you just how much you want to spend. And then I suggest you find a veterinarian who likes donkeys, because sometimes they can be difficult patients. So some practitioners may actually defer on working on that, but it is something you could definitely consider have done.
Well, more that's often what I was thinking. You really don't see a lot of, like, you'll see the vet trucks going down the road with the logo of the horse on it. You don't see a lot of donkey vet trucks driving by. You know?
Right. No, you usually don't see that on their logos. That's a really good observation.
You know what? It's amazing, though. I live in Ocala. There are donkeys everywhere. I mean, yeah. There are so many donkeys.
Yeah, there's, you know, and a lot of times people use donkeys also as companions for horses. So, you know, you can see them in that regards. But I think a really interesting fun fact that came out in the American Horse Council survey, most recent survey they did on breeds and populations, donkeys and mules were the fifth largest, they called them a breed, which we're just lumping them together, but equine population in the U.S. So they're really popular, they're gaining in popularity, and there's a lot of people that have donkeys for riding purposes. They're excellent riding mounts, especially for people that are maybe older and they're getting their first equine. They're so safe and they're great on the trail. They're not going to run away. They're not going to go too fast. So they've really found some great new uses that's brought back their popularity. And so veterinarians are seeing, you know, more cases come through their clinic, especially donkeys and mules. And they're really asking for this information, because just a very basic example, the body temperature of a donkey is much lower than a horse. So if you're comparing apples to apples, and you need to know that a donkey's baseline temperature is 98.5, not 100. So there's some basic information like that that's a little bit different.
I'm assuming that you have to do all the same things like vaccinations, deworming, teeth, feet, all the things that you do with a regular horse.
Yes, that is exactly right. And so many times, and especially on social media groups, I see conversations about, oh, it's a donkey, it's a mule. They don't need to be vaccinated. They don't need their teeth done. Yes, they do. They need all the same vaccines. Now, granted, every vaccine you give a donkey or a mule is off-label. There's been no research by FDA or any of the companies that produce vaccines on donkeys and mules, but they still get similar viruses and bacteria. So just as important to vaccinate, deworm them. In terms of deworming and antiemetics, it's really important to use at least once a year ivermectin, because there's some different parasites you find in donkeys and mules that are not always as prevalent in horses, such as lungworms and occasionally lice you can find on some of the hairier donkey breeds. So you just want to take that into consideration. And in the summertime, a lot of donkeys are prone to getting Hibernium. And we'll see that sometimes in horses or summer sores. But again, that comes from an internal parasite spread by the black fly. So ivermectin a lot of times can help control Hibernium as well. So yes, please vaccinate, deworm, do dentals on your donkeys, get their hooves done. They need all the same care your horse does.
And do they typically have good feet?
Yeah, that's a great question. Typically, their feet are, quote, good. One thing we see here in California and some of the Western, even Midwestern states where there's selenium deficiency, you can see lesions in the hoof capsule. So you want to make sure you're still supplementing with selenium and vitamin E, which sometimes is a problem because a lot of times donkeys are very efficient in what they eat and become obese because they're originally from a desert, but you still want to make sure they're getting their necessary vitamins and minerals. And a lot of times that's lacking when people are trying to manage their diet and feed a poor quality source of forage or hay. The other thing we see in donkey hooves, they don't do well in wet conditions. So some of those donkeys in Ocala, some of our southern states where it gets a little bit more moisture, then they seem to be prone also to white line disease. Donkeys founder, they develop laminitis. They can develop laminitis in all four hooves. So those are other things to consider. You can see side bone, you can see ring bone in donkey hooves. That's the other misnomer you'll hear is like a donkey or mule won't founder. They don't colic. Yes, they do all of that. They just do it very silently and they're very stoic about it, but they still have those same diseases we see in horses.
I never knew that. So is it best to keep them in a dry lot type situation? And if you are, how are you supposed to have it out grazing with your cattle without having them pop like a tick?
Well, that's another good point. That's one of the things you see oftentimes with the guard donkeys. We see a lack of hoof care. And so then when they sell the cattle off, and a lot of times the donkey comes to the auction, you know, with the cattle, and their hooves are overgrown, they look like elf's feet. So you need to still interact with the donkey if you're going to use it in a guard animal perspective and still have their hooves trimmed 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Yes, you know, dry lotting is a better option for your donkey, but, you know, they get a little upset if they can't graze. So that's another challenge to having guard donkeys is managing their weight, because the livestock's usually on a, you know, a green pasture or forage area, and that leads to severe obesity with donkeys. So that's sometimes why they're honestly not the best choice in that capacity.
Gotcha. And you said that if you have two, they might not guard the animals they're supposed to guard. They just kind of buddy up and they're like, see you guys. Bye.
Yes. Yeah. That oftentimes happens. They're
I don't blame them.
Less likely to guard.
The cougars coming into the field. It's like, yeah, eat the horse. We're out.
Yeah.
Take them. So do they go after, because I've seen them quite aggressively go after, you know, coyotes that you will see. I lived in Kentucky for a long time and you would see a donkey out with all of those horses and they would aggressively go after dogs or, you know, coyotes. But what would they do if they were in, like, do they know that ducks and chickens are part of the family?
Yeah, that's a good question. So donkeys by nature are what we call territorial. So they have a border, they have a boundary around, you know, a premises that they literally guard. And so that's where they got the idea that they're good for guard animals. And like I said, they have been used for thousands of years in lots of places to guard livestock. But there was usually a shepherd or there was, you know, somebody overlooking the stock with the donkey or the donkeys. Mm-hmm. But they do learn what animals belong in that premises, in that area. So they'll learn that your own dog is okay, or barn kitty, or the chickens. At first, when they're new to the facility, they might be like, oh, that needs to go away. The chickens need to be chased out. But they soon learn who belongs and who doesn't.
So it sounds to me like you got to have the manager, right? So you got the balance, like the manager, and the donkey is the muscle. It's the bouncer in the group. Like everybody's here, you're out, and then they're going to take care of it. Well, this is all fascinating information.
I love that analogy, by the way, Jamie. That's a good analogy.
They're the bouncer, the muscle. So yeah, where can people go to learn more about the World Donkey Breeds Project?
There's a couple of books that were published several years ago, and you can go through the University of Cordoba and Cordoba, Spain, to access those books. They are, I think they're all in Spanish, though. It's the only problem.
So okay, if you're how can people contact you then?
Yeah, they can also reach out to me, and I'm always happy to answer questions. I can give you my email. It's acmclain@ucdavis.edu. I'm on social media. I get a lot of private questions about donkeys and mules through private messenger. I'm always happy to try to answer or at least connect the person with the resources in terms of what they're looking for. And then I hope, you know, our textbook will be out this coming summer. It will be online. There'll be hard copies, and there's 38 chapters in it. And it's literally everything from A to Z about uses of donkeys, you know, just doing a physical exam to cardiovascular system, you know, different diseases. There's a lot of orthopedics, podiatry, and reproduction information as well. So that should be out this summer.
Will you let us know when it comes out, and we'll have you back on?
Oh, I'd love to. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, let us know. We'll definitely have you back on when it comes out.
Yeah, we need to make sure everybody can get their hands on that. Yeah.
And just one other place to get good information is also the Donkey Sanctuary based out of the United Kingdom. There's a lot of free and good information on their website.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Amy McLean from UC Davis. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll look forward to talking to you again when the book comes out.
That sounds great. Thank you all for having me.
Well, the foundation of a horse's well-being is a strong hoof. That's why Colexiquin, the new daily hoof supplement from the makers of Cosequin, contains key ingredients such as biotin, amino acids, copper, and zinc to support hoof integrity, quality growth, strength, and durability. What sets Colexiquin apart from other hoof supplements is the inclusion of vitamin E and selenium, which provide antioxidant support and membrane stabilization. Put your best hoof forward with Colexiquin. To learn more, visit Colexiquin.com. CalexEquin.com.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Mini Horses and Ridiculous Ranches, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from Horse and Rider On Demand and BarrelRacing.com. Live the action, learn from the pros, love the stories. Subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
That's right. On Sunday, or as Glenn did Monday morning, we go on the Horses in the Morning Auditors. It's a Patreon Facebook page. Yeah. And you won this morning. So we put up the post and we asked people to share their equestrian first world problems, and they do. It's therapy, basically. So, I mean, you're getting like therapy for free, Glenn.
That's right.
So we're going to start with Kelly, who just a standard equestrian first world problem that we all deal with. Oh, by the way, if you want to become an auditor and join this Facebook page, what do they do?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down to the middle of the page, click on the auditor banner, and you too, for as little as $3 a month, can join the fun.
Kelly says, I just bought a new horse, and now I have to make time to ride two horses. A common problem. Lorene says, and Lorene, this is so sad. My husband decided to go to Hilton Head in the spring to play golf with his brother. So now my daughter Alicia and I have to go to Disney World by ourselves. I'm sure you're dreading
that. Last time they were down, they visited our farm, actually.
Amanda says, I was going to buy a new saddle with my tax return, but my husband said we should probably put the money like towards bills. Ew. I don't know where this financially responsible adult talk came from, but he needs to put it back. Carrie. Carrie says, my favorite saddle doesn't fit my new horse, and I didn't want to like leave it in the tack room to get moldy, and I'm not ready to sell it, so it currently lives in my dining room, a fact that my significant other is not thrilled with. But if you just build me a home tack room, my saddle would have a place of its own. So really, it's all his fault.
You guys are masters at turning things around. You really are.
It makes me so happy. Adrian says, we have the windows in my stalls covered up to help keep the barn warmer during the winter. But I can't tell when the sun is going down unless I look under the outside doors, and they keep losing track of time when I'm doing my chores. Yeah, that's what you say. Babe, I need insulated windows. Otherwise, dinner's going to be late because I can't get up to the house because I lose track of time because it's dark outside. Or I think it is. I don't know. I don't know what time it is. You could set an alarm. No, or don't talk sensible. Yeah, it's fine. Allison said, I heard the song Pink Pony Club for the first time this week and immediately started choreographing the most amazing dressage freestyle in my head. Pink leg wraps, ear bonnet, saddle pad, and of course a pink blazer for me. I even planned where I was going to do my half pass and my pirouette and the perfect moment for the extended trot, and the reality hit and realized I've only ever competed intro test A. I have the most magical musical freestyle set to my Andalusian stallion, who's black, who is going to do canter pirouette and tempi changes, and I have the perfect song picked out, and like the cymbals crash at the exact moment. So I totally get it, even though I have an Andalusian gelding who's fat and spooky. But we all can dream. Molly says, I finally was able to ride my horse Gio after his abscess finally cleared. So I rode Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but now I'm so sore.
By the way, getting back to Pink Pony Club, does she realize that doesn't have anything to do with the horse?
All I know is what the pink pony was in Atlanta when I was growing up.
Well, you're close. Chappelle Roan was the one that did that, and she rode it after going to a gay bar in West Hollywood called the Pink Pony.
It was a strip club in Atlanta.
So there you go. Gay bar in L.A., strip club in Atlanta. I haven't heard the song, but probably.
For those who are wanting more information, did you know Atlanta's a full nude place? Yeah, there you go. You're welcome. I've never been to the Pink Pony, but I always
all your radio days, and they didn't drag you there.
Not to that one.
I was going to say they had to drag you. So that's where they would always bring the sales guys, the radio people.
I worked for a sports talk radio station. Yes, Glenn, I have been to a few strip clubs. And by the way, when you go into the bathroom at a strip club as a girl, you're in the bathroom with all the strippers and they're naked. So
they don't have their own bathroom?
No! Because girls they're not designed. They don't design specific customer bathrooms. Yeah, it's just the whole thing. Gwen says, banjo is finally sound again after being lame on two different legs for like 4 months. But now it's busy season of work, and I sold one saddle and I let my other saddle out, and now I have a horse with no time and no saddle.
She's an accountant doing taxes, so she won't have time till April.
Chantel says, I wanted to ride this morning, but I'm tired because the Eagles won. Go Eagles!
Yeah, Chantel's a huge Eagles fan.
Delia. Oh, Delia. You're my spirit human. My car is covered with hair and hay constantly, but I don't care because it's my car. But the other day, I dropped my chapstick and it fell into a literal pile of hair and hay. And now my purse chapstick is in my car and my bathroom chapstick is in my purse, and my life is basically falling apart.
I
have nightstand chapstick. I have my three or four purse chapsticks. I have my desk chapstick. I've got my car chapstick. I have tack in my tack room. I have in my cupboard my tack room chapstick. Like, it's a thing. Gotta have it everywhere, Glenn.
And we haven't seen Kentucky Performance Products in person for a while. So you probably are not. You probably used all those chapsticks you love so much.
It's a struggle. It's funny, one of the chapsticks that they do have is called, it's one of their products, and it's like electrolyte balance or something. And so I was like using it in my car the other day, and Ginger was like, what? Oh, it was, I can't remember, it was one of their supplements, and it's written as the label of the chapstick, and she was like, why are you putting that on your lips? Why are you doing that? It's fine.
We used to do meetups. People just wanted, they didn't come to meet us. They wanted the chapstick from Kentucky Performance Products.
Oh, it's a thing. It's a thing. Gina says, my mare's existing set of hoof boots are just fine, but Cavallo is going to release turquoise boots this year, and it's my favorite color. Love my Cavallos. Sarah says, it was a zoo. Two more. On the one warm day last week, I suggested we ride. And when I got home from work, my husband had my horse saddled. I got on my horse and we rode off. But the saddle pad was off center and his mane wasn't brushed. And it drove me crazy.
OCD much?
I'm sorry. Did you say your husband tagged of your horse? Chad, are you paying attention? Yeah. Awesome. I don't think I trust
you. You got it the right direction. Now with the horn, I'll know which way goes front. Perfect.
Oh my gosh. You know what? You're going to be lifting up that saddle anyway. In my house anyway. But man, finally, Michelle, this is very sad. My husband and I are on a beach vacation in Belize, but it's a non-horsey vacation. And all the conversations are with non-horse people. And those conversations are boring. And having to pretend to care is exhausting.
And now you know how the non-horse people feel when they talk to you.
You're going to need a vacation from your vacation with non-horse people. Yeah, you need a horse vacation with horse people to get over it. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for submitting your question first world problems. I didn't get to all of them because you guys were very, very, they needed a lot of help
today.
There
wasn't one like, hangover from the Super Bowl, none of that. Today?
Guys, like you didn't even listen. Okay. Yes.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate it. Hold on. We're going to do a short auditor. Jamie did something that surprised me. It was written here, and we haven't talked about it before, so we're going to talk about that. And then I think tomorrow's Endurance Day with Karen, and we have the NRHA later in the week. We have really bad ads, weird news, all that stuff. If they want to submit weird news by Wednesday, where do they submit it to?
Send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com.
See you, everybody.
Piece of cake. Bye. Spay, neuter, geld.
Time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
So I saw what you wrote and I went, are you expanding your empire? What's going on?
So we went to look at land. One of the things, okay, here's, you know what is terrible? I'll give you the honest truth. I watched a video and it was like, if you're over 50, you have like 162 weekends left in your life and you have this many days and you have this many weekends and you have this many more Christmases.
You were the last one that should watch that.
Oh my God.
Marching toward death.
It was the most stressful thing I've ever seen.
You were the last one that should have watched that.
And I told Chad about it. And he was like, oh, my God. And like, our kid's 11. And I'm like, in 5 minutes, he's going to leave us. Like, we have literally no more time. We're marching towards death. I'm almost over 50. You're 51. Like, oh, my God, we're going to die like tomorrow. We need to do something. So we've been taught. There's a weird thing that might happen here. We could potentially, I'm going to fight tooth and nail, but we potentially could be in the path of a turnpike. At our farm.
Really?
It sucks. I don't like talking about it because it's a huge thing.
We had the same
it's a problem.
Thing happened here too, and we fought it and won. It took years, but
yeah, it's
what's going to come through the neighborhood we just bought in, actually.
Yeah. Well, and with the whole potential turnpike thing and the fact that we're marching towards death and I'm going to die, like, you know, we have like 12 weekends left. No.
Are you looking at a vacation property or a moving to property?
Just a property that, and there's so many like beautiful places in Oklahoma that are just kind of off the beaten path. So I was just looking at like 50 acres where we could put a tiny home that has a pond that Lucas and Chad can go out and fish And I can take the horse, take a horse.
So
this and
is like
trail
a vacation
ride.
Home until you get rid of the kids.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. But it's like 45 minutes away as opposed to driving, you know, right now. And I love, and I'm not complaining, but we never buy plane tickets to go anywhere. So vacations are always a 50-50 shot, you know, like probably 20-80 shot on whether we're going to make this
now
particular
with planes
flight.
Being as full as they are, that can't be as easy as it used
and,
to be.
Yeah. And I was like, let's just do something like easier. So we've been looking and you can find some land in the middle of like nowhere, Oklahoma for pretty, I mean,
okay, is there,
I'm not going to say
is there
cheap,
a hilly
but,
part, like a hilly part of Oklahoma, or is it all just flat?
So there's I-35 that runs down the middle of the state, and that's what they call Tornado Alley. Right. Everything to the west of I-35, it looks like Texas, and everything to the east of I-35 is like beautiful trees, hilly, everything like that. Oh. So it just depends on where you want to go. So we're looking a little southeast Oklahoma, just southeast of I-35, and just for like some land that we can go in and like put a tiny home and not have anything on it. Just a place where we camp. And I mean, it's still going to be a house with a bed. I'm not an animal. And then they can fish. We take the horse and then just try to like enjoy a little bit more of that and try to get Chad some more downtime. Cause when, we discussed the plane again. And I'm like, listen, you have golf, you have a kid, you have a motorcycle, you have a boat. We don't need a plane. Sorry, he's in here. Sorry, I love you, baby.
You could probably get the property for about the same
price. We're still off the plane thing,
actually.
Exactly, exactly. That's what I. And guess what? Property values increase over time.
Yes.
Unlike, as Dave Ramsey says, anything with wheels is a decrease.
And if he could find it near a lake or a pond, then he could put his boat in.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, to be fair, the Oklahoma ponds are like...
I'm looking at the map of Oklahoma.
And cross it.
And unless you go far, far to the east in that big lake area over near Texana, there's not much water.
Soma. Well, every pond in Oklahoma is man-made. Actually, there's no like natural lakes or ponds in the whole state. I think so. So basically what we have here is on our property now is just a little pond that they kind of like shored up and it's stuck.
Now there's a big
and so
lake
we have a pond
down
here.
By Ardmore and Mattel down to Texas border down that way. There's a big lake.
Yeah. I'm not a lake person, Glenn. Like let's be fair. Like I don't want to, we're near Lake Thunderbird and they have great trails. You can ride the horses around the trails, but I'm not like a lake. I'm not like, hey, let's take the boat out on the lake. As you well know, I don't want to do that. But if we could just find a little pond and you could put it around, then that'd be great. Or just sit on the edge. You guys go fishing. I'll trail ride. It'll be fine. So that's what we looked at. But I will tell you that we went and looked at this piece of land and it was 100 acres and it was too big. But they let us take our rangers down. So we loaded the horse trailer up, put the ranger in it, drove down. We get the ranger out. They give us the gate code and we go into the property and it was not great. Like there were just giant piles of like barbed wire, you know, like metal, just junky.
Was
it was just really
cleared
junky.
Or was it wooded or
it was not what I wanted. It was like, you couldn't walk through the woods. Cause there's like thistles like everywhere. Yeah. It was just not great, but there was like one part of the front that was clear. And so I'm looking at the map and I was like, okay, if we go down there and we go left and Chad's like, down there and go right. I'm like, whatever. It's just go down there and head a direction. He's so good with direction. I could be in some other state. I wouldn't even know it. So he's like, go down there and we turn left, turn right. And we go down there. There's the opening spot. So let's go down there. So we start to drive down there and I'm like, oh, we need to leave the property. And he's like, what? Like, we need to leave. We need to go outside the fence. And he's like, why? I'm like, there's just turn and just go to the gate and let's go on the outside of the fence. And he's like, okay. So we get down there and I'm like, do you see that right over there? It was the herd of cows. and the bull and the guard donkey. It was just so funny. We were talking about donkeys on the show today because this thing was like,
eyeing you up
at me, bro. I mean, it was not used to seeing humans, and the bull was right there. And it was like, there's all these cows and they're just happily eating from the round bale, and then there's a bull and a donkey that are like flanking them that are just staring at us. And I was like, this is why we went outside the fence. And he's like, that's probably a good idea. But it was just so funny. We talked about guard donkeys because I was like, this thing is going to come at us.
So they crossed that one off. I'm looking at Kansas. There's less water in Kansas than there's Oklahoma. There's nothing up there.
Yeah, there's not much there. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to find a, like some acreage with a pond that we can go in because we're marching towards death, you know?
Mm. Yeah, not near an airport.
I'm going to find that video. I'm going to send it to you and you're going to be like scared to death.
Yeah, when we bought this property, a little smaller than 100 acres, the first farm we had was 100 acres, and you'd need a gator to get around because 100 acres is a lot of territory.
It was too much, man. Yeah. It was too much. And the fact that I kept finding trash everywhere, I'm like, you know who's going to find this trash? My horses.
Your horses, yeah. By the time you find it all, they're going to find it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Good. I think that's fun because, you know, but we really need to get you away from the death and gloom videos. We really
just... It just popped up. It's like it hurt me. I'm not kidding you. Like this video was like, if you're over 50, you have 162 weekends left or some crap like that.
I'm turning 63 like, soon. I only have, 20 yeah, weekends left.
You have like 22 weekends left.
I'm heading if that you're direction. Over 50,
you have 12 Christmases left, you know, like some crap. I was like, this is bullshit. I can't believe I've ever listened to this. And I'm like, now I have to listen to it because now I need to know. Yeah. And then I'm like, no, why did I watch that? So yeah. So we're looking at property just and in case the turnpike does come through and unhouse us, we have a place to go.
Well, the problem with that too, is your property value goes to shit if the turnpike's coming through. I mean,
oh yeah. There's many ways that we could get royally fucked. Like we know that. Yeah. So it's going to suck. Like it might not suck. Or what would really suck is if they put the turnpike next door. So then I have to listen to that noise, you know? So it's like, I'd rather come through the middle.
Put the bypass around Oklahoma City.
So what they did is it's below Oklahoma City. Right. It makes no sense. Makes no sense. They're going east and then they're going to turn it south, and where they turn it south could potentially come through our place.
So they're trying eminent to find domain is a bunch of 40 and
so something, I guess, to connect 40, like kind of bypass the city and go around it makes no sense. There's nobody out here. There's nobody. Nobody's going to use that. Nobody goes to Purcell. Nobody's destination is Purcell, Oklahoma. Stupid.
No, that's true. Well, good luck with your search.
Thank you. Yeah, we're having fun.
Be picky.
I think Chad's online shopping now. No, we won't. I was like, here's what I was like, I want about 20% of it to be healthy trees. I want a pond and I want some clearing and I want it to be fully fenced. I don't care what kind of fencing.
No,
I just
HOA
want it fenced.
Or zoning. That's the other requirement. Then you have to
The middle of nowhere. Oh, this is not Florida, Glenn. this is not Florida. I want enough woods in case people are shooting. I can take cover. That's basically it.
Well, good luck. Hope you find it.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll see. I need good luck too, because Homer's going to the vet today. So,
Well, good luck. Is it serious?
He's got a lump.
Oh no! How old is he?
He's too young to have a lump. He's 2.5.
I was saying he's pretty young. Yeah. Huh. Well, are you sure it's just not a fat deposit? Because Homer looked kind of chubby in those videos.
He's not chubby. He's the fittest basset hound around.
You tell me. I don't know what it is. I want to know, honestly. You take a picture when they put him on the scale. I want to see what that is.
Okay, I totally do that. Yeah, so he's got, remember that this horse is not, this dog has a GPS tracker on him. He's insured. He gets fish oil supplements every day. He gets a joint supplement every day. Like, this is my little angel baby, and he's got a lump. And so we're going to the vet.
Patty, I'm going to see your husband today. It's a cyst. Dogs get cysts too. It's good. I'm thinking positive for you.
Thank you. I don't like. Thank you.
Let us know.
Okay.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show. Thank you for all your support. Now, go ride your horse.